issues with the quality of shopping on the Amazon site, which is not what it was 5-6 years ago when these things were new. So it's very interesting because I think the $10 billion loss is basically them calculating like what they're paying people on the Alexa side of their operation. It's not like they, you know, poured money down something that didn't happen. It's just what it cost on their end to keep this thing running. And it is an interesting question whether they will continue to do so.
Now, Alex, you now have two kids with you. I'm just wondering what the most expensive thing either one of them has ordered without your knowledge from Alexa or any other kind of device. Or do they even speak to these? Do they speak to these devices?
No, they don't, because we don't have them. We don't have an Alexa device, do we, Sasha?
We don't trust them.
That's right. We don't trust
them. Wow, okay. Good for you.
Right. Why don't we trust them?
Because they scan your whole house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's something that they're always recording the ambient noise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that. But these kids have ordered things, mostly video games on the PS4 that I've had to unwind with Sony and that.
Well, Call of Duty World, Modern Warfare 2 was $76, so it probably was the most expensive game.
Yeah, well, but we decided to buy that one. You know, that wasn't one that was an unauthorized transaction like your little brother has engaged in recently. So, but yeah, most of these kids have been just buying video games. And but, you know, to go back to this whole issue of Alexa being a failure when it comes to purchasing things, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like it's really badly designed to purchase things. I mean, it's a sound-based device. There's nothing visual about it. You want to see the thing that you're buying before you say buy it. I mean, I understand wanting to re-up your toilet paper or your paper towels, but you know that's something that you can just do automatically on Amazon. It just seems like it was perhaps a poorly thought-out business plan. To capitalize on that.
I intentionally make sure that any kind of account is not linked to it because, you know, if you just happen to say that you want to buy something, it might buy it for you. I don't want that. You know, if I want to buy something, yeah, you know, I know how to do it online. I can ask Alexa for advice or details or things like that. But I would not want to have Alexa just go out and make a purchase. That just seems unwise. Yes, Gila.
I think there's also an interesting question about what the point of Alexa devices is and why it's managed to lose $10 billion, which is just a staggering sum of money. And it's not like Alexa went and invested with FTX and lost $10 billion. See, callback. It's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. If you have an Alexa pillar, if you have an Alexa ball, if you have an Alexa dot, great. And I think the question is, did they want you to be buying things or do they want to be inextricably linked into the daily lives of so many of their customers? Because I think on that particular metric, it's been a massive success to the point where if we are on vacation and I want to know what it's like outside and I will say, Echo, what's the weather? And stop, Echo, stop.
What just happened?
I accidentally asked it what the weather was and it was about to start talking. And but the thing is, I'm so used to asking this device in my home what the weather is, I am now incapable of finding it out from any other place. And we have been in hotel rooms in other cities and I'm like, I don't know what's happening outside and I can't ask the device in my room.
Can't you look out the window?
Yeah, I can look out the window. I can see it's sunny. Do I know what the temperature is? No.
That's why you open the window and then you find out.
In a hotel where the windows don't open.
Okay, then you call downstairs to the concierge and ask them what the weather is, and they'll be annoyed that you're asking, you're wasting their time, but at least you'll get an answer.
But I think that's the thing. I think that the sense of how intrinsically linked so many of us are to these devices now, for better or for worse, but do I want to get a pair of Echo glasses?
I just came up with an idea based on what you're saying. Hotel Alexas, every room has one built in and you can just have a dialogue. You know, maybe you're in a hotel room, you have nothing to do. You have a nice friend to talk to while you're there.
You can play Jeopardy.
It's not as pathetic as it sounds. And you don't actually have the device. It's like in the walls or something, watching your every move. Huh? That could sell.
They're in vehicles, I think, as well now.
Yeah, they are. They are in vehicles as well. Alex, are you okay? Your younger kid is smacking you in the face full force. Is there something going on we should know about?
I deserved it. That's it. That's all I can say all about right. that situation. Right. I deserved it.
Now he has a fist clenched. Boy, what's going on over there? There's some animosity that I'm seeing brewing in your household. Okay, well, here's another story that is kind of interest from the Daily Dot. It seems WikiLeaks' website is coming apart at the seams, with more and more of the organization's content unavailable without explanation. I just tried going there myself, and I got a 502 bad gateway. WikiLeaks' technical issues, they've been ongoing for months, have gotten worse in recent weeks, as increasingly larger portions of its website no longer function. Even attempting to visit WikiLeaks.org is a gamble in itself, often producing the very 502 message that I experienced today, which indicates an error was detected on the website's server. When the website does become available, problems still abound. The main banner on WikiLeaks, which includes the organization's logo, as well as links to subdomains such as the About page, has been entirely missing since earlier this month. A similar banner at the bottom of the page, which once showed links to sites for Bitcoin and the Tor project, is now gone as well. A search bar that once included once scoured the site for information also appears to no longer work and instead redirects users to the homepage. But the biggest issue relates to WikiLeaks' entire purpose, leaks. Many of the group's leaks have either vanished or become inaccessible to the public. Of the seven leaks highlighted on the homepage, three produce no content. Two of those redirect to error pages, while the third merely sends users back to the homepage. Now, some of the organization's most prominent leaks have also been affected. A cache of more than 1 million emails from Hacking Team released in 2015. The now defunct Italian surveillance vendor, they're all gone. An archive of tens of thousands of emails from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's private email, inaccessible. The Democratic National Committee emails provided to WikiLeaks ahead of the 2016 election by Russian state entities posing as rogue hackers, also missing. Although WikiLeaks long boasted that it released more than 10 million documents in 10 years, at current, less than 3,000 documents remain accessible, according to an analysis by the Daily Dot of the website's Leaks Archive. The issues have become so apparent that supporters of the group are now voicing concerns across social media. It's even being read over a New York City radio station, according to this article. In a post on the WikiLeaks subreddit over the weekend, one user complained that every search request made on the website produced an error message. The site is completely down for me. Another responded, all I get is a 502 bad gateway error. And despite similar complaints on Twitter, many of which tag WikiLeaks' account, the organization has failed to publicly address any of the issues. WikiLeaks did not respond to a request for comment from the Daily Dot over Twitter direct message. And even organizations tied to WikiLeaks appear to be struggling. The website for Defend WikiLeaks, a group that raised funds for the legal defense of WikiLeaks imprisoned founder Julian Assange, has now been taken over by a Vietnamese sports blog. No kidding. The website for the Courage Foundation, which similarly raised funds for whistleblowers and journalists, including Assange, Chelsea Manning, and Edward Snowden, was also taken over in the past week and transformed into a Japanese blog selling knockoff designer merchandise. The domain now shows nothing more than a blank page. So, rather sad. According to an update to this story, after this story was published, the websites for both the Courage Foundation and Defend WikiLeaks were taken offline. The Twitter account for the Courage Foundation also appears to have removed the link to its website from its bio in recent days. So rather disturbing, I think, because WikiLeaks was a major part of the 2010s. And like it or hate it, having it disappear, that doesn't sound healthy to me. Rob, do you have something?
Yeah, I mean, the WikiLeaks definitely had its important part to play in past history, but the writing has been kind of on the wall for this. WikiLeaks has published, for many years, they've published an Onion link where you can contact WikiLeaks via Tor, and that link has been a dead link for many years now. With no indication that they were looking to put it back up. And WikiLeaks, their purpose used to be leaks. the point of that site used to be leaks, but as anyone who follows WikiLeaks on their official social media, like their Twitter account, knows, WikiLeaks nowadays is basically just an organization that posts again and again and again how bad the situation is for Julian Assange.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done leaking. They've kind of put that aside and become a full on Julian Assange cheering section. And, you can feel one way or the other about that. But the point is, they really kind of abandoned their purpose quite a while ago. And I think the fact that their old leaks have now fallen off the net to a degree that's, I tried bringing up the site just now and got the 502 bad gateway from Nginx. And it seems like that was just the thing that was going to happen. Seems like they're not interested really in being WikiLeaks anymore.
In all fairness, there's not much to cheer about. I mean, when you're targeted by the U.S. government and by so many others throughout the planet, it becomes awfully hard to continue with your original mission. And yeah, it has become a site mostly about what Julian is going through. That's because Julian was pretty much WikiLeaks, and without him, doesn't have the same kind of direction, if any. And attention does need to be drawn to what he's been put through. Like him or hate him, is what he's going through, being locked away for years and treated in barbaric conditions and facing God knows what for what he actually did. Is that fair? The whole thing is lousy. It's lousy what's happened to WikiLeaks, absolutely. But we have to look at why this happened to WikiLeaks. It's not like they said, we're tired of this, we don't care anymore. They've been subjected to something we cannot even imagine. And, it's anyone with any interest in human rights, I think, would be concerned by this. And it's just sad to see it falling apart, but I think we know why it's falling apart. It's because of the way it's been targeted, and it's a message to anyone else who dares to try such a thing. And it's a very chilling effect. Now, I know, Alex, you don't agree with my perspective on WikiLeaks, but surely you see that there's a human rights issue here as well.
Yeah, I've written quite a bit about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange for CNN as well, and specifically on the issue of Julian Assange's extradition to the United States. I don't think that the extradition proceeding in the United Kingdom was necessarily fair, and I think that the superseding indictment that the DOJ brought, as the superseding indictment is the second indictment that included a mess more charges on this. I think it was something like 14 more charges as opposed to the first one that just dealt with essentially cracking a password hash with a rainbow table. But, it does seem overtly political in a lot of ways, and it especially did during the Trump administration. But my thought on this was, during the Trump administration, that superseding indictment, and this is what I wrote for CNN, I thought that the superseding indictment was deliberately designed to prevent the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States because the charges were so overtly political that extradition should not have been an option from the UK to the United States. But, there you have it. And but putting that aside for a moment, I think there's almost a more fundamental issue. And this is that tried and true lesson that's become a bit of a platitude on our show lately, which is don't expect any platform controlled by a third party to exist forever. So, let this be a lesson to all of you. You shouldn't rely on a single website to host all of your exfiltrated data that you'd like to mine for OSINT purposes. I mean, the only place that you can trust is your local hard drive. And that too will eventually.
Yeah, I'm not sure many people want to trust a local hard drive with everything. Make sure you back that up as well.
But the other point that I want to make, Emmanuel, is that sure, it might be sad to see WikiLeaks fall apart. I'm not going to shed a tear for them, frankly. But I think that part of the reason why it's falling apart is that there are other outlets that exist right now that have taken up the helm of this is the place you go to when you want to leak documents, when you want to have them published, when you want to have them curated. And I'm talking particularly about some place like the Distributed Denial of Secrets. You know, and we've had Emma and Zan on the show multiple times. They've spoken at Hope. They're doing a tremendous job, a really risky job of getting this information out to the public. And I think they're filling a void that WikiLeaks left behind when they became the cheering session for Julian Assange, as Rob aptly put it.
I'd like to comment just in general. Like, it is unfortunate. I think that we need to remember, kind of along the lines of that, when this emerged, there was not much else, and it did have a bit of a vacuum for a while when a lot of the peers and manpower, so to speak, changed there, and it really ended up being beholden, you know, kind of under the auspices of one person's benevolence. And I don't think that's very good for a news gathering and a journalistic enterprise. But we've learned quite a bit, I think, since then. And there's been a proliferation of the sorts of tools and things that were very necessary in the modern age to protect sources, so to speak, or do various sorts of reporting and investigating that require you to interact with sources that may not want to be identified or could be at risk if they are, and or if they're whistleblowings, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that proliferation has made the options available for that kind of story to see the light of day are wide. And I think there are a lot of different outlets for different types of stories, so that people have the luxury of maybe choosing one that might handle it or might have the skill with that kind of story that others might not. And it didn't exist.
Yeah, so. And we operate one ourselves. SecureDrop is a great way to leak documents, information. In fact, if you go to securedrop.org, you'll find us. I think we're first on the list because we begin with the number 2600. You can leak documents securely. So yeah, there's options. There's definitely options. And I'm not particularly sad to see a website disappear. But I am sad and angry at the way a human being has been treated. That's my point. And, you know, if you hate Julian Assange, understood, that's your right. That's your opinion. But if you want him to suffer, mission accomplished. He suffered. How much more do you want this to go on? How much do you want to drive that nail in? You know, at some point we have to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? And I think we're well past that point here. You know, it's unspeakable the way he's been treated. Okay, so any other closing thoughts on this?
I would just say I agree with that. I don't necessarily support Julian Assange or what he did, or, you know, and frankly, I think that the first indictment of him was, you know, for what appeared to be an actionable crime in the United States. But I agree with you. I think that the amount of suffering that the process of this extradition and his custodial requirements over in the United Kingdom especially have been really, really heinous, have been and I think will be looked back on as one of the more notable stains on the human rights tapestry of the United Kingdom and the United States.
And remember what he was saying when he went into the embassy, and everyone was saying, oh, you're paranoid, the United States is not going to charge you with anything. And he hid in there for years, believing that the United States was going to charge him with something. And guess what? They did. They absolutely did. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think if had there been like something crazy like a public-facing trial, which would have let it come to light what exactly this person deserved for what he did or didn't do beyond a reasonable doubt, then that would be one thing. And you could see somebody being, you know, tried and punished for a crime. The fact that that hasn't been allowed to happen, it's just, you know, been years off his life without any sort of due process that we can see or report on, you know, that's a shame. But if any organization like WikiLeaks or any other organization for that matter, wants to be a valid thing into the future, it needs to be bigger than any one person. If WikiLeaks wanted to be WikiLeaks for longer than Julian Assange was hanging around, I think the rest of the people, you know, the people that are pushing the buttons on the social media and things like that, and people have been keeping the site up all this time, they could have continued the work. I think that would have honored what WikiLeaks represented far more than just becoming a cheering section for one person.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. But again, I think we might be overestimating just how big WikiLeaks actually is. And I think a lot of the enthusiasm has been punctured, you know, and it's really hard to keep that rebellious face, you know, when things like this have happened. We can continue this on Off the Hook Overtime, which will be happening over on YouTube in just a couple of minutes. I did want to say, though, on the subject of WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, I saw Chelsea Manning on Hard Talk, on BBC's Hard Talk. That's a half-hour program without any commercial breaks where you get hammered and grilled by a journalist. He was challenging Chelsea, and boy, did she hold her own. It was really one of the most impressive interviews I think I've seen. If you have a chance, go to bbc.co.uk. You can track it down there somewhere. I'm sure this copy is floating around. Of course, if you get BBC World News, it'll be broadcast on there every few hours, I think. In closing, our email address is oth@2600.com. We're Off the Hook, the show about technology, hacking, privacy, all sorts of things like that. And we broadcast on WBAI, where we really hope that you call in to support the station, 212-209-2950, or go to the website, give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. And donate whatever you can to keep community radio alive in New York City. Any closing thoughts from people? No? Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We will see you on Overtime in a couple of minutes. Just go to the link on the 2600.com webpage or just join us over on Channel 2600 on YouTube. Good night.
time to watch the frogs eating the flies.
Yep, then off to the neighbors to watch the paint dry.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, the trains are coming, the trains are coming.
Land sakes, it's the Arts Express pulling into the station with goodies for all of us.
Oh, well, it's about time. Looky, there's presents for everyone.
Look, Pa, it's a preview of the latest indie feature.
And Ma, it's an interview with a major Broadway theater actor.
And I got some shiny new film reviews from film festivals all over the world.
And here's cutting-edge poetry from the country's most progressive poet.
Oh, sweet Lord, it's a miracle.
No, it's not. It's Arts Express with host Prairie Miller.
That's Arts Express with host Prairie Miller at our new day and time, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on WBAI-FM.
Don't want to use the website or the call center to contribute to WBAI? That's okay. Please feel free to send your check or money order to WBAI, 3rd floor, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Please make your check or money order out to Pacifica-WBAI. We thank you for your donation and hope that you will spread the word and tell your friends. And please keep on listening.
have joints and forces, rattling lights and Trojan horses, skillfully disguised in laughter to leave us wasted. Ever after, how can you tell what there's in your sins? We have so many brainwashed courses. Who can you trust? Where can you turn to when you've become the flame that burns you?
Thank you. Hi-ho, hi-ho, holiday, the best day of the year. Little Matty Groves to church did go, some holy words to hear, some holy words to hear. He spied three ladies dressed in black as they came into view. Lord Arlen's wife was gaily clad, a flower among the few, a flower among the few. She tripped up to Matty Groves, her eyes so low cast down, saying, pray, oh pray, come with me, stay, as you pass through the town, as you pass through the town. I cannot go, I dare not go, I fear it would cost my life, for I see by the little ring you wear, you are Lord Arlen's wife, you're the great Lord Arlen's wife. This may be false, this may be true, I can't deny it all, but Arlen's gone to consecrate King Henry at Whitehall, King Henry at Whitehall. Oh, pray, oh, pray, come with me, stay. I'll hide thee out of sight. I'll serve you there beyond compare, and sleep with you the night, and sleep with you the night. Her little page did listen well to all that they did say, and ere the sun could rise again, he quickly sped away. He quickly sped away, and he did run the king's highway. He swam across the tide. He ne'er did stop until he came to the great Lord Arlen's side, to the great Lord Arlen's side. News, my bully boy, what news brings you to me? My castle burned, my tenants robbed, my lady with baby, my lady with baby. No harm has come your house and land, the little page did say, but Matty Groves is bedded up with your fair lady gay, with your fair lady gay. Merry men, he bade them with him go, he bade them ne'er a word to speak, and ne'er a horn to blow, and ne'er a horn to blow. But among Lord Arlen's merry men was one who wished no ill, and the bravest lad in all the crew blew his horn so loud and shrill, blew his horn so loud and shrill. What's this, cried Matty Groves, what's this that I do hear? It must be Lord Arlen's merry men, the ones that I do fear, the ones that I do fear. Lie down, little Matty Groves, and keep my back from cold. It's only Lord Arlen's merry men, a-calling the sheep to fold, a-calling the sheep to fold. Little Matty Groves, he did lie down, he took a nap asleep, and when he woke, Lord Arlen was a-standing at his feet. A-standing at his feet. How now, my bully boy? Ah, how do you like my sheets? And how do you like my fair young bride? In your arms asleep, who lies in your arms asleep? Ah, it's very well like your bed, best I like your fair young bride, who lies in my arms asleep, who lies in my arms asleep. Rise up, little Matty Groves, as fast as e'er you can. In England it shall ne'er be said, I slew a sleeping man. I slew a sleeping man. And the first stroke little Matty struck, he heard Lord Arlen sore. But the next stroke Lord Arlen struck, little Matty struck no more. Little Matty struck no more. Rise up, my gay young bride. Draw on your pretty clothes. Now tell me, do you like me best, or like your Matty Groves, or the dying Matty Groves? She picked up Matty's dying head, she kissed from cheek to chin, said it's Matty Groves I'd rather have than Arlen and all his kin, than Arlen and all his kin.
seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shore of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Ten House of Games.